to meet together. Special welcome to our preacher tonight, Reverend Julian Patterson, minister of our Ballymagurney Free Presbyterian Church, County Armagh. We welcome him. He's here many times when he was studying for the college, and we always enjoyed his ministry. And of course, being a local man not too far away from here, it's always a joy to welcome him back here to Ballygowan. And we'd like to welcome Vivian as well, who's come to minister in song. Vivian McCoy from our Cumber Church is here tonight to minister in song. May the Lord bless her as she ministers amongst us. Could I mention the fact that we do have special offerings today for our building fund? And do remember that, please, the harvest collection. And do please give as the Lord has prospered you tonight as you leave the service. The baskets are there for that offering. And then could I just mention the restrictions, of course, you know about them, and social distancing and all, entering and exiting the building while in the building. Let's not drop our guard on this, and do please remember that as you're in and out of the building. On Wednesday night is our Bible study and prayer meet at 8 p.m. This week, Reverend Greenfield will be the speaker. I'm not able to be here on Wednesday night, preaching at the Martyrs' annual meeting there. So Mr. Greenfield will be here to minister the Word of God. We trust that you will join in the prayer meeting. It's very, very important that we come to seek the Lord's face in prayer and call upon the Lord's name for blessing in these times in which we're living. So do please remember that on this coming Wednesday evening. On Friday night is our youth fellowship by Zoom, and we will meet by Zoom on Friday night, and we trust that you'll remember that, and that link will be sent out. We encourage young people to link into this, and parents to encourage the young people to link in as well. That is for this Wednesday or Friday evening at 8 p.m. Next Lord's Day, I will be here to bring God's Word at both services. Do remember that, please. It's morning service in the church building, the evening service in the church hall. And then a word of thanks to our sister Janet for the decoration we have. It's not the normal thing we have at Harvest, but we weren't going into all of that this year because of the restrictions. We thank Janet for the work that she did in providing this for us. Remember those who are sick and need our prayers. I'd ask for special prayer for Eileen McDowell's granddaughter. I received word this afternoon of a worsening situation there, and she's now in hospital, very ill, in great pain. So I'd like you to remember, please, the situation with this young girl, Alice, and please particularly remember her at the throne of grace in prayer, not only tonight, but in days to come in your prayer times. Please keep that in mind. Our presbytery has decided that we can have the Lord's Supper again, but obviously we session want to look at this when it can be safely done again, and when we can meet safely around the Lord's table. It's important that we do that, of course, but it's important we do it safely. So we want to look at all of that. So that will come up in the future. So keep that in mind, please. All the other meetings are kept under review. It's difficult. We're doing our best with all of these things. We're trying to get word out to parents, and situations in schools also come into play. So please remember that we're doing our best in a very difficult situation. Now, we're going to open our meeting tonight with the words of the hymn 531. Will come up on the screen, and you'll be seated, of course, for the singing of this hymn moderately. Sow in the morn thy seed at eve, hold not thy hand to doubt and fear, give thou no heed, broadcast it o'er the land. When we've finished singing this hymn, we will stand for prayer.
Thank you.
Gracious, loving, eternal Father in heaven, we bow in thy holy and sacred presence. We seek thy face, O God, in the Saviour's name. We pray for thy blessing upon us tonight, that thou wilt condescend to be with us, even in this harvest service, in this the house of God tonight. Meet with thy people, speak to every heart. For any who are not saved, may this be the night of their salvation. For those in Christ, may this be a night when we are revived and quickened and stirred in our souls. And we pray that tonight thou wilt speak with clarity to every heart. We thank thee, O God, that we come tonight to one who is able to do for us far more exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Father, remember us tonight. Remember thy servant who has that awesome responsibility of preaching thy word. Hide him behind the cross. Let none be seen save Jesus only. Remember thy servant who will minister in song, that thou wilt use her tonight. Hide her behind the cross. And grant that thou wilt speak tonight with plainness. Speak tonight with power. And grant that this will be a night of nights in the experience of many. A red letter night. When this soul, this man, this woman, this young person was swept into the kingdom of grace. Do that work tonight. O God, we pray. Speak with the voice that wakes the dead. Make the people hear. Lord, we are reminded of the physical harvest. And we thank thee for it. The cupboards that are filled. The garners that are well supplied. But Lord, we pray for a spiritual harvest. O God, gather in the gospel sheaves, we pray. Bring men and women into thy kingdom. Not only here in Ballygan, but across our land. In every city and town and village. Moved by thy Spirit. Come with mighty power. Visit, Lord, this land, we pray, that there may be the movings of God in our midst in a mighty fashion. O Lord, tonight remember the sick. Remember those amongst us who have gone through procedures. Thank you for healing and restoring many even to our service today, tonight. And Father, for others, Lord, in hospital, we think especially of Alice. This young girl, it breaks our hearts tonight. But, O God, thou hast said, I am Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. We pray for healing for Alice tonight. Pour in the balm of healing into this young girl's body. Remember her parents. Remember her siblings. Remember her grandmother tonight, Eileen. Comfort Eileen and help her at this time. Be gracious, Lord. We ask of thee, across this land, to all who are sick, to all who mourn. Remember the Hannah family in this further loss that they have had. Comfort their hearts. Be with all of thy people, those who are still shielding, those who have fear to come out. Maybe some who have grown complacent or careless. Lord, stir their hearts, we pray, and answer prayer. We commit this meeting into thy loving care. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I will ask Vivian to come and bring her first message in song, please.
Thank you.
Vivian, for that beautiful ministry and song. May the Lord bless it to our hearts tonight. And we're going to turn to another hymn. It's the hymn 257, and again we're remaining seated as we sing this hymn together, and I trust you'll join moderately in the singing of this hymn 257. And maybe you have a hymn book of your own, so you may have that benefit. But if you haven't, then you look at the screen and you'll be able to follow it there. After the sowing of sin is all done, after the glory of earth has been won, after the sands of thy life have all run, oh, what shall thy reaping be? Great hymn 257, and we remain seated as we sing. We're delighted again to welcome to our pulpit here Reverend Julian Patterson from our Ballymagurney Church. And after Vivian ministers her final piece, our brother Julian will come and bring the Lord's word to us.
Tonight, please, in your Bibles to Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1. Just whilst you're finding the place, can I say that it is really good to be back here? I was thinking as I came down the road from Ballymagurney, and I came off, I think, junction number 6 there on the M1 and headed for Saintfield. You begin to see that the change, certainly I do anyway, the change of County Down. And it's great to be back in County Down again this evening. It's good as well to share the pulpit with another Cumber Spud, shall we say, and her sister Vivian. I went to Cumber as well, so it's good to renew fellowship with our sister. Psalm number 1, and well-known psalm. If you're brought up and raised in any church, really, you probably learned this psalm as a youngster or as a teenager, maybe in Sunday school or youth fellowship or children's meeting or something. Very tempted to ask you to close your Bibles again to see if you really know this psalm. But Psalm number 1, and we'll read all 6 verses together this evening. Psalm 1, we simply read, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of the psalm, and we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We'll pray briefly, and then we'll consider verse 4, which we want to take as our text for this evening. Father and our God, we are thankful that we are here this evening. We thank you, Lord, for thy grace. We praise thee, O God, for ordering circumstances sovereignly and permitting us to be here. We recognize, Lord, that even the gift of life itself, it is from thee. We think of Job as he saw his family taken from him. And he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We thank you, Lord, tonight for gifting us life. We praise thee this evening that we are the living to praise thee. And, O God, we thank you then just for allowing us to be here. We thank thee, O God, for the greatest harvest gift of all, the gift of thy Son. We think of how he said of himself that it is except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. We thank you for Jesus Christ, the one who is the corn of wheat, the one who at Calvary died. But we thank you that it is through his death that you're still about that business of bringing many sons to glory. We thank thee, O God, this evening for yet that great harvest that one day will be brought in. We recognize, Lord, that thou hast not returned to this earth yet. And so it's still very much harvest time for thyself. We pray then for this evening. We pray for this gathering. We ask, O God, that as the sickle of divine truth is thrust forth, we pray that there would indeed be a harvest unto thyself. We pray that even from this gathering this evening, there would be individuals who, as it were, would be gathered and garnered, even with the wheat in the barn. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless thy truth then this evening, even to thy saints as well. We're thankful, Lord, tonight for many, we believe, are inside Jesus Christ, and come that great time. Scripture reminds us that harvest is the end of the world. We think, O God, of that great day, what it will be to stand before thy Son. We thank you, Lord, tonight for many who, O God, can say that they are in Jesus Christ. We pray for those who are outside, those who are spoken of here, even this very psalm. One day they will not stand in the great congregation with the company of the righteous. I pray them for thy truth this evening, that we'll just go forth with clarity, with sincerity, and, O God, with power. So bless us then to that end, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm number 1 and the verse 4. And in the verse 4 we have a very, very familiar harvest picture. We'll just read that verse again together. Psalm 1 verse 4. We read, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. I'm sure that many of us, if not all of us here this evening, have heard the name Luciano Pavarotti. Luciano Pavarotti was one of the most successful commercial tenors of all time. He was born in 1935 and he died sadly about 13 years ago in the year 2007. As I said, he's known for his singing. And whenever he was a young lad, he was first introduced to the wonders of song. In actual fact, his father sent him to a professional tenor in his hometown of Medina. The man's name was Arrigo Pola. And he said, and I quote, this is Pavarotti, he urged me to work very hard to develop my voice. So Pavarotti, from a nipper really, from a young lad, he was sent along and he was encouraged to train and to develop his voice. But as he grew up, as we all do, and as he went into, as we would say in Northern Ireland, secondary school, he then had to enroll in some form of institution for further education. And he decided that he would enroll in a teacher's college. And so he then went on to do his teacher training. And his father, Luciano Pavarotti, his father, who was a baker, sat him down, and towards the end of his teenage years, as fathers often do, they set their children or their young teenagers down, and he essentially set before him a choice. He said this, Luciano, shall you be a teacher or shall you be a singer? Luciano, if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For your life's work, you must choose one chair to sit upon. And of course, we know the story. Pavarotti, he chose to sit on the chair of singing. Now, the reason I tell you that story this evening is this, is that I believe in Psalm number 1, we have two individuals presented before us, and they are sitting on two completely different spiritual chairs. In the first three verses, we have the man who is described in verse 1 as the blessed man. And the word blessed simply means happy in the original Hebrew. And so what you have a depiction of here is the man who is a truly happy individual. And let's face it, folks. If I was to sit down beside you, now I can't because of social distancing. If I was to sit down beside you this evening and ask you the question, do you want to be happy? I'm sure that every single person in this gathering, in fact in Ballygowan, would say, yes, I want to be happy. I don't believe there would be an individual who truly enjoys being sad. And yet here in verses 1 through 3, we have a depiction, as I've said, of the happy man. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now David uses the same word in Psalm 32 verse 1 to describe the Christian. And we read there, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. So what you see when you get into the Bible and you study this word is that the blessed man is a happy man, but he's also a Christian. The happy man is someone who has his transgression forgiven and whose sin is covered. Now, what does this man look like? What is this man sitting in a spiritual chair? What does he look like? Well, verse 1 tells us, or verse 2, this is what his life looks like. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. This is someone who knows the book, lives the book, and loves the book. And in verse 3, he is described as a fruitful individual. He's like a tree planted by rivers of water. So here's a man, and he's sitting, as I've said, on a certain chair. But then verses 4 and 5 describes a totally different chair and a totally different individual sitting on this totally different chair. Verse 4 tells us the ungodly are not so. In other words, they are not like the happy man. They are not like the blessed man. They are not like the individual who has his sin dealt with. In other words, that the ungodly, I want to suggest to you, taking this verse and taking this psalm in its context, the ungodly individual is an individual who is not happy. Not happy. If the blessed man is a happy man,
then the man who is not blessed, who is not in Jesus Christ, is a man who is not happy. Now this term ungodly, it is used in Psalm 109 verse 7, and it is translated or it describes someone who is condemned and guilty. And so what you see in this psalm is essentially this. You have a blessed man, a man who has his sin dealt with, a man who knows the covering of Jesus Christ. And you have an unhappy man in verses 4 and 5. And he is described as the ungodly. The ungodly are not so. In actual fact, in the Hebrew, there's a double negative. And what you could read this verse, verse 4, this way, not so the ungodly, not so. In other words, David, he is emphasizing, he is describing, he is highlighting, is he underlining the fact that the ungodly are definitely not like the man described in verses 1 through 3 of this psalm. In other words, there is a complete contrast. A complete contrast to the life of the blessed man, the godly man, the happy man, the righteous man. He is described like a tree, firm, rooted, fruitful. But here we see in verse 4, the wicked, the ungodly, the unhappy. He is described using familiar harvest imagery. He is like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. And it reminds you this evening that there are not merely two. There is not merely one path in life, there are two. In life, in death, and in eternity, there are two paths. And tonight I start off this meeting by asking you the simple question, which chair are you sitting on? Which chair are you sitting on? Can you say that you're desiring to be like the individual of verses 1 through 3? The happy man, the blessed man, the godly man. The individual who loves the Word of God, who takes the Word of God, who seeks to apply the Word of God to their own hearts, to their own lives. Or perhaps verse 4 is a depiction of your life. Condemned, guilty, unhappy. The ungodly, not so, the ungodly, not so. Whenever you go through the Bible, you know, this thought of there being a great division, it's throughout Scripture. Especially if you were to run your eye down through Matthew chapter 7. This division, it's set before you in different ways, in different terms, using varying life instances. Matthew 7 verse 13 and 14 tells us that we are to enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way. In other words, there are two ways here set before you. There is the broad way which leads to destruction. And Scripture tells us many are on that way. But then there's the narrow way. There are those who are seeking to walk the life of Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Matthew 7 verses 24 to 27 speak of two men building a house. One man, what does he do? He builds his house upon the sand. And another man, he builds his house upon a rock. That which is stern, that which is firm, that which is immovable, sturdy. What's a depiction of? Individuals who are sitting on two totally different seats or chairs. Tonight I ask, which chair are you sitting on? Which chair are you sitting on? Verses 1 through 3. Or verses 4 and 5. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff. What I want to do tonight in this harvest meeting for the time that remains is to focus in on verse 4. Take this familiar harvest imagery, the chaff. And we want to think about the ungodly as the chaff. The ungodly as the chaff. First thing I think we see here is comparing the godly with the ungodly. Think about the ungodly as the chaff is their difference. Their difference. Verse 4 tells us the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. As I've already said, there's a double negative here. Not so the ungodly, not so. We don't see it in our English Bible, but often in the original text, Greek and Hebrew, there is this double negative. It's emphasizing something. It's as if David here is saying this in absolutely no uncertain terms. Is the godly man anything like the ungodly? Not so the ungodly, not so. In other words, there is a grave difference here. So we must ask the question, what is the difference? What is this difference that David is speaking of? We need to go back to verse 3 to find out what is different about this ungodly man. Verse 3 describes the godly man as someone who is like a tree planted by rivers of water, bringeth forth fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So there's a picture here. The godly individual, he is like a tree planted by a river of water. Very simple picture. In Israel, of course, Psalm 23 springs to mind here. What would the shepherd do? He would go up the mountains and down the valleys and so on, and he would take his flock. And of course, often you would find rivers and streams there. And of course, often beside rivers and streams, what do you have? You have trees. And the tree, that particular tree that is near to the river, near to the stream or whatever, it's close to a source of sustenance, isn't it? In other words, that tree, it's going to be fruitful because it has that constant supply of water, feeding it, supplying it. And that's why we find it's fruitful. It's not that it's struggling to get water, just merely struggling to survive. No, it's actually flourishing. And that's what we read of here in verse 3. What I want you to see is this. Whenever David, under the inspiration of God, is comparing the ungodly to the godly, and the godly is saying here, he's saying that the godly man is like a tree planted by rivers of water. He's saying that the tree enjoys a special care, I believe, that perhaps other trees don't. Other trees that maybe are in Israel, and they're wilting, and they're struggling. Israel, of course, is a very, very warm place. And you hear all the time, and you read of it in Scripture, that the midday sun and so on, very hard for crops to survive in trees. So this tree here, it enjoys the special provision, the special care, the special sustenance, as I have said, of this river, that perhaps others don't. The godly man is likened to this. The ungodly man then is not. Not so, the ungodly, not so. David is saying, the ungodly man, the ungodly individual, he is not like this then. What he's really saying is this. The ungodly individual, he does not enjoy a care that the godly individual does. He does not enjoy a provision. He does not enjoy a special, to put it another way, a special relationship that the godly man and the godly individual does. You see, between the godly and the ungodly, whilst there are comparisons, there are also contrasts. As we would say in Ulster, they're the same, only different. They're the same, but different. And yes, at this harvest time, we remember how God has been good. And I want to make that point very, very clear. It's been a hard time, yes, folks. The Lord knows. It's been a very hard time for society, and I'm sure individually, if I was to go through some cases here, you could tell me of hardships that you've had during this time. Scripture is very clear. David, he said this, I was young and now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1 that all good things come from above. They come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God's good. And the fact that we're here tonight, folks, shows us this. Yeah, we might not have the place decorated the way we want to, as at other years. But all of us had breakfast this morning. All of us had dinner. Most of us, maybe. Some of you are out working. We all have clothes on our back. God has been good to us, folks. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, no matter what chair you're sitting on, in general, God is good to all his creatures. But I want to say this, and this is what we're looking at here this evening. There's a difference between the godly and the ungodly. And the godly is this, is that he knows the blessing of God upon his life in a way that the ungodly individual doesn't. Maybe you're here tonight, you're not saved, and you've seen this. Maybe in COVID, all that's been going on, you look at a Christian, you look at a godly individual, an individual who, yeah, is not perfect, because none of us are, and they have their flaws, yes, but they seek to progress with God. They seek to be like this man in Psalm 1. And you said, you know what? There's something about that individual, and there's like this magnetic kind of force that just draws you to their life. And you can say this, that there's a blessing upon their life, which I just don't enjoy. What's that? That's God looking after his own. That's the Lord looking after his own. One of the most quoted verses amidst all of this pandemic is Romans 8:28. And yet it has been the most misquoted verse of this pandemic. All things work together for good, yes. That's right. For who? For them that love God. For them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good for the believer, for the godly individual, for the Christian. Proverbs chapter 8, Jesus Christ really is the speaker when you look at it and analyze it. And what does Christ say in Proverbs 8? He says this, I love them that love me. I love them that love me. Psalm 145 verse 20 tells us this, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but the wicked will he destroy and forsake. I want you to analyze your life tonight and honestly, can you say that there is that kind of, as Psalm 34, I think it's verse 7 or 8 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Them that fear him. Can you say that you've known a special protection, a special hedge about your life, which only a Christian can know? And tonight, if you have never really known that favor, I trust that you feel it. Not for the sake of making you uncomfortable, but for the sake of you analyzing, am I really in Jesus Christ? Am I really a Christian? Because let's face it, folks, this pandemic has put everything into perspective. God is the author, the giver, the sustainer, and the remover of life. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready. A theologian was a guest speaker at a Bible college. He was getting old and failing health. And it was initially planned that after he would give his lecture on some great subject, that he would stay behind for a Q&A session. But as he poured his heart and soul out into that lecture, it became very apparent that he wasn't going to make the Q&A session. And so the dean, the individual hosting that time, that lecture and so on, said, well, if you're not going to stay for the Q&A session, can I ask you one question? One question. What is the most profound truth that you've learned in all of your theological study? This is what that renowned theologian said. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He said, that is the most profound truth that I've learned in my Christian life. Tonight, can you say that you know the special covenantal, relational love of Jesus Christ in your heart and soul and life? God loves all. John 3:16 tells us that in a general way, but he loves his own in a special, in a covenantal, relational way. Their difference. I want you to see secondly here in terms of the ungodly as the chaff, their dereliction. Their dereliction. Verse 4 again, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So let's get to it. What is David getting at here? When he states the ungodly are like the chaff. The godly are not like the chaff, so the ungodly are like the chaff. Well, what he's really saying is this. Is the godly man is an individual full of substance, full of fruitfulness, and full of prosperity. That's what he's saying in verse 3. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's something substantial. There's something spiritually weighty about that individual. So then in terms of contrasting them to the ungodly, he's saying that there's something light about an ungodly individual. He likens them to the chaff. The ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. David here is drawing in your minds a picture of the Israelite during harvest time. And if you've read the book of Ruth, you'll know this picture. In Ruth chapter 3, you read of Boaz, and what does he do? He goes to a hill in Bethlehem, outside the town or whatever. And what is he doing? He is winnowing. Ruth chapter 3. What he's really doing is this. He's separating the wheat from the chaff. Now in Bible times, they didn't have the machinery that we do today. So what you read of in Ruth chapter 3 is Boaz doing this. He gets a pitchfork, and he gets the wheat, and it's joined to the chaff, and he just takes the fork and throws it up in the air. And of course, it's harvest time, it's windy. And what does it do? The chaff that is kind of joined to the wheat, the chaff, it is driven away with the wind. But that heavy ear of corn or wheat or whatever it is, it falls back again to the ground. And David here is using that picture, and he's saying the ungodly, those who are not in Jesus Christ, those who are not saved, they're like the wind or the chaff that the wind driveth away. They're not fruitful. They're lightweight. They're derelict, barren, devoid of fruitfulness. What does this mean? Am I being harsh towards an unsaved individual? No, I am not. But what I'm saying is this, and you again will see this in the pandemic played out. You've maybe looked at an individual who is walking with God and a godly individual. And yes, in spite of all of the challenges they face, you can see them living fruitful lives. Maybe you've observed a Christian in this pandemic. You say, look, the things that life has thrown at that individual, I just don't know how they do it. And how do they do it? Galatians 5 tells us, whenever a man becomes a Christian, he receives the Spirit of God into his heart and life. And Galatians 5 verses 22 and 23, they speak of spiritual fruit in the life of a Christian. Love, joy, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. So whenever that individual endures hardship, endures affliction, they become more meek, more fruitful, more long-suffering. You see it in the life of Joseph, don't you? Name Joseph in the Hebrew means to add. He's always adding. Whether he's in the prison, whether he's in the pit, or whether he's in the palace, Joseph is always adding. He is this gradual fruitfulness about his life, no matter what the challenges are that life throws at him. But the ungodly are not so. Maybe you felt this. Maybe you felt this. This time, whenever the foundations of life are shaken, say there's nothing there. Tonight, maybe you feel like you've just been like the wind, or the chaff which the wind driveth away. Come the storm that this pandemic has brought you, there's nothing there. The root of the matter is that there is just nothing there. You say to me tonight, I just don't have that love, that joy, that peace, that temperance, that long-suffering that other individuals do. It's not there at all. Whenever there's a challenge comes, whether it's COVID-19, whether it's something that breaks down in the farm, whether it's a hardship in general, in life, in the family, whatever, you say, I just go to pieces. Like the wind, like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know, Job knew what this was like. If ever there was a man who endured affliction, it was Job. Lost everything, absolutely everything. He lost his family. He lost his farm. And he lost his fortune. And yet Job was in Jesus Christ. He said in Job chapter 19, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And yet even this old body of mine, whenever it decays and worms come and worms eat it up and so on, yet in my flesh I shall see God. In the midst of his affliction, he knew what it was to trust the Lord. Job said this in terms of what we're looking at here. He said in Job 21 verses 17 and 18, how oft is the candle of the wicked put out? How oft cometh their destruction? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. Listen to this, verse 18. They are as stubble before the wind, as chaff which the storm carrieth away. What's he saying? He's saying, yes, I know it because I've been there and I'm sitting there right now. Yes, the Lord's taken everything from me, and yet he still progresses in grace. But the wicked are not like this. My, when the storm comes, they are like a stubble before the wind, like chaff which the wind driveth away. You know, Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes towards the end of his life. And it's all about a life without God. That's really what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about. And in chapter 2, verse 1, speaking about pleasure, he said this. He said, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, or happiness. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. And the word vanity in the Hebrew, it has the idea of just a breath, just a breath. What's Solomon saying here? He's saying, look, I've come to the end of my life. I have seen it all. I have been there, done that, and got the t-shirt. But you know what? It was all just a breath. I gave myself to pleasure. There was nothing to it. All just a breath. Life without Jesus Christ, it is hard, but it's also hollow. It's hollow. It is a barren, fruitless, futile existence. And I trust that you feel this evening. I trust that you feel it. I say this to you in love. Because if you do not have Jesus Christ, never mind death and eternity. Your life will be miserable. Miserable. Whenever the storms come. I give you an example of this. Boris Becker is well known, I'm sure, to many, if not all, here this evening. If you watch tennis, if you like Wimbledon, you'll know who the name Boris Becker. You know the man who he is. Boris Becker was highly suicidal during his tennis career. He said this. He said, I had won Wimbledon twice, once as the youngest ever player. I was rich. I had all the material possessions I needed. And yet it's the old song of movie and pop stars who commit suicide. They have everything, but yet they have nothing. They're so unhappy. They had no inner peace. I was a puppet on a string. Puppet on a string. Perhaps you feel like this evening. I want to say to you this evening that there is joy, real joy, wonderful joy when you're in Jesus Christ. And he gives you that purpose. And he does that inside your life, which naturally speaking is just not there. He gives you the fruit of the Spirit. So the ungodly is the chaff, their difference, their dereliction. Lastly and quickly, I want you to think about their division. Their division. Verses 4 and 5, we read, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So what David is really saying here is this. Is there is a time whenever the wheat and the chaff grows together in the field. And whenever you read the Bible, even practical experience would teach you this. They're sown in the same field. They grow up together in the same field. But there's the time of separation. There's the time when the winnowing process happens. There is that time when, yes, the wheat is divided from the chaff. And even further on in the process, whenever they're bundling together the wheat, they would find maybe old pieces of chaff that's still kind of half stuck to the wheat. We're letting you in now. You know we're a townie anyway. But you can certainly see that from the way we're describing this. But there comes that time then when the wheat is bundled and it is placed in the safety of a barn. But the chaff then, it's bundled. And farmers here know. What do you do with it? What do you do with old rubbish? You burn it. That's what you do. And this is what happened with the chaff. It was bundled together. And it was not in the safety of the barn with the wheat. The chaff, sadly, it was bundled together and it was burned. What's David saying? He's saying this. He's saying, whilst the saved and the unsaved develop together in life, they are divided in death and eternity. They are separated. They're one from the other. You're here this evening. And you're here in life. And perhaps even your very chair is united to a wheat. But my friend, there will come that time when the separation will occur. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And Romans 14 tells us every man will give an account of himself to God. Every man we will all stand before God ourselves personally. And for those who are in Jesus Christ, to take the imagery of Psalm 1, they will be bundled together as wheat, and they will be placed in the safety of the barn that is heaven for the saints. In my Father's house are many mansions. What a place of shelter, a place of safety, and a place of security for the saint. And yet, sadly, in death, you will be separated from those who are in Jesus Christ. And sadly, you will be cast into the lake of fire, which the Bible calls the second death. The prophet Malachi looked forward to this day, looked forward in the sense that he was prophesying. And he said in Malachi 3:18, "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth not." And he said there was coming a time when those who serve God, those who live for God here on earth, they would be discerned or they would be divided from those who didn't serve the Lord, those who didn't live for the Lord, those who didn't live the life of Psalm 1, the happy, the blessed man. To put it into the language of Matthew 13:30, "Gather first together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." You can be united in many things in life, but you can be separated in one thing. Whether you are righteous or unrighteous, godly or ungodly, there is that line, that boundary, that demarcation. One day there will be a great separation. How is it with you? Albert Einstein, and with this I finish. He was traveling in a train, and the conductor came to him. He said, "Sir, can I see your ticket? Want to know where you're going." And as sometimes men do, began to check the jacket and check the pocket. Then he opened up his briefcase. Couldn't find the ticket anywhere. Typical man. And he then said to the conductor, "Look, I can't find this ticket anywhere." And the man said, "Well, I recognize your face. You're Albert Einstein. I'm sure you've paid." He said, "Yes, sir. I too know who I am. I'm Albert Einstein. And yes, I have paid. But what I don't know is this. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going. I trust tonight that as you leave this place, that you know where you're going. That you know that one day, come that great day of separation, you're going to be bundled together with the wheat. Sadly, perhaps for some, you'll be placed with the chaff, fire quenchable. The ungodly as the chaff." May the Lord bless His truth to all of our hearts this evening.
Thank the Lord, servant, for the word of God solemnly brought and clearly brought to our hearts tonight. We're turning to hymn number 230. Just as we conclude tonight, the words will be on the screen. "Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time." They will stand after the singing of this for the closing prayer. God has spoken to you tonight. You don't know where you're going. What a poignant question. I don't know where I'm going. Friend, make sure you're going to heaven tonight. You speak with our brother, Reverend Patterson, and myself. As you leave, we'll be out there somewhere, standing a distance, but we'll be there, and we're here to help you tonight. Just be seated after the prayer, and then the folk at the door there will guide you as to when you leave the building socially distancing. Father in heaven, we thank thee for your presence, for your word. Speak to every heart through thy word. Lead sinners to know Christ tonight before it is forever too late. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.